Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle here with me, and we are welcoming back to the show someone who's been on the podium for quite a few years in a row now. Welcome back, Trisha LaChica. Welcome back, Trish.
Thank you.
What's up, Trish?
Good morning, guys.
Okay, so before we get started, one of the questions I wanted to ask is, you know, since Brett is not a regular anymore, does he get consideration for the podium for this year?
Wait, when did he stop being a regular?
Oh, around August.
No.
Okay.
Next year. Next year for sure.
All right. That's just Trish saying she doesn't want to be dethroned this year by Brett. So, Brett, you're going to have to come on next year quite a few times just to dethrone Trish.
Am I literally still on the podium this year?
I don't know.
I don't think so. We
haven't counted for this year.
Jeremy. I'm sorry.
Damon just likes to kind of rub you with that. Like,
Oh, no, I know it's fun because it really doesn't bother me, but it's just like all fun and games.
Yeah.
But that's one thing I really appreciate about you, Trish, is that we're able to mess around and have fun. And you're one of the fun people at church that I like to mess around with. So always appreciate you.
Do my happy dance.
Yeah, she was just doing a happy dance. Oh, should we get the bubbles out, Trish?
Yes, get the bubbles out. Thank you.
Oh, he's not joking either.
Seriously.
Yes.
Kyle's not joking.
Woo! Oh, we have bubbles flying again. It's been a while since we've had bubbles.
We need this on video. Why have we not done video yet?
That's a good question. Maybe one day in the future we'll have moved this over to video podcast. But I don't know if everyone wants to see how messy our office is right now.
We'll
that was the first
up.
Thing that Trish did when she walked in. She's like, this is grossing me out. I got to start cleaning up in here.
I'm just going to say there was a Starbucks water cup in my spot. I don't know whose that was.
I
had to go throw it away.
I don't drink Starbucks, so it's not mine.
We'll just say
I don't drink coffee, I should say.
It rhymes with LUT.
Oh, but was there a name on it?
No. We're assuming Damon just threw out a name, and we're just going to go with it.
All right.
I mean, it really could be older than that, so.
Ew. Yeah, because Let just left it there. Yeah.
So maybe that's one reason this is not a video podcast yet, is just because we don't want people to air out our dirty office.
Okay, we'll clean it up next time.
All right, so one of the reasons that Trish is on is she wanted to come on to help us unpack this past Sunday sermon, where we had guest speaker Walter Chu come help us out and continuing our series on 1 John and knowing God, light and love. And the verses that Walter went over were 1 John 4, 1 through 6. And a lot of the message, well, maybe not a lot, but he started off the message talking about the importance of discerning spirits and not believing every spirit that we hear. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that would be a good place for us to start, is as we continue to move into and dive deeper into experiencing the Holy Spirit and opening our eyes and ears to more in the spiritual realm, it is important for us to discern and make sure that we are hearing from the right voices and not the wrong voices. So I thought that'd be a good place for us to start. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, let me read at least verse 1, 1 John 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Let me read another verse too. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. I just want to point out at the end there that it says this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which has already come. So it's the spirit of the Antichrist is already operating, even though the Antichrist isn't here yet. And I think that sometimes if you read that quickly, it's like, huh, how the Antichrist was already there back then. But really, it's that same spirit that Antichrist is going to operate in is already just in part of the world system.
Amen.
But I do think aligning with like biblical prophecy as we get closer and closer to Jesus coming back, the sad reality is more and more people are going to fall away. So not even just that people won't be coming to Christ, but those that either were following or at least said they were are going to be deceived and fall away. So I think that's the part where this verse really stands out to me is, you know, John's call. And in his setting, too, like there was a lot of false teaching going on. So he had to call it out. But we have a lot of that going on, too, that we got to have our spiritual discernment level high. And to do that, you have to know what truth is and what's not true. And I always go back to the just being a little bit off course, right? So like the devil, if he can get us to believe like a 90% truth, that might seem good and like, oh yeah, that's mostly true. I align with that. But what's that 10%? And where does that lead you? And what doors does it open for other falsehoods then to take root? And then where does that lead you? So I don't think he's necessarily looking for us to make a 180 turn to follow him or to like turn our backs to God and God's ways, but it's really just getting us diverted. And pretty soon 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%. And all of a sudden we're 180 and we're going the wrong direction.
What do you think, Trish?
Well, that was a lot to digest. And I feel that with Walter's message, personally, that's happened to me. Mm. I mean, we were like when we were doing the pre-show. I don't know what you call it when we're just like
when we were prepping for this
prepping,
episode.
There you go, prepping. You know, we talked a little bit about like my past in the last few years, and it is so easy. It is so easy to, do that 10%, you know, mm-hmm. And it creeps up on you fast and you're like, what has happened to me? So, I mean, personally, I feel that I have allowed that. Mm. So, yeah, that's why I was just like, keep going, Kyle.
So if you're willing, can you share some of the things looking back on what allowed that change in course or allowing those other, I guess, snippets of falsehood to start taking root?
Yeah. Flashback Friday.
There we go. You might be hearing that Flashback Friday multiple times
today. We are recording on a Friday.
Flashback Friday. When I went all in, like, I went all in.
So
I was
what,
even like...
2017?
2017, September. And, I mean, I look back and... I did not say no to whatever. Like, I was like, is this biblical or is it going to harm me? Cool. Then it's from God. Mm-hmm. Like, I just kind of just those two questions. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing, the instructions, mm-hmm. is it biblical? Like, so not everything will be biblical. Mm-hmm. Is it going to harm me? Okay. So then if those two checks off.
Two filters that you have.
Two filters. Yeah. And literally, I would do it. Mm-hmm. And I've talked several times. Like, I didn't wear makeup for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And God asked me to wear a hat one time, like, for months, and was in the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, so just mm-hmm. silly things like that. And then I did big things. I was tested big time in those years. And I've shared several times how I call it losing my mind for 3 weeks. And long story short, in literally a second, I sent an email to someone about my situation and it was lifted from me immediately. And then I went along my business without like looking back. Mm. And it was a lot of things that I was tested on. And I felt like blessed, like I went through this or God asked me to do this. Mm-hmm. And I literally, I want to say I was proud of myself, but I know like being proud is like not like the best saying. I just was like, okay, I did this, you know, like, all right, God, what's next? Super excited. And then I think without realizing it after, I was hit with COVID in 2020, really bad. Kyle visited me very nice, like at the door.
That's right.
Kyle visited a few times, like, oh my gosh, you're literally.
Brought you some medication and some food. And
yeah. He visited.
He was being executive pastor even before he was executive pastor.
Oh, you brought us a whole thing of vitamins. No, he visited a few times and he probably was like, I felt like, I'm not joking, I thought I was going to die because it just lasted so long. And I said those words. Mm-hmm. I said, I just want to be done. Anyways, then I started feeling better. And then it took until February of 21 to like come back to life. And at the retreat, Pastor Sam.
So at this past retreat.
At this past retreat in 2025, I've just been kind of like distant from God. I mean, I'm throwing a lot of years in together. Sure. Yeah. So this is like probably really hard to like navigate through. I've, since 2021, I've kind of distanced myself from God because obviously he didn't distance himself from me. And so even in this distance of 21 to 25, the years, man, he has shown me some miracles, and I won't even go into that yet because that's a long story for another time. So I was distancing myself from God, and he was still shooting things at me, and I was obeying. And then this past retreat, Pastor Sam said something about, like, maybe you've said, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I sat there, and I was like, you know what? I think that's what I did. I think I said I'm done without really saying it because it hit me really hard. And I was like, you know what? I did. I think I said I'm done. Like and old wounds came back to, you know, the old wounds like to come back up every now and again. And, you know, if you're like, you just have a weak moment, I think I said I'm done, which was like the theme for many this past couple of years of, you know, I've said it before, you didn't take care of me as a child. So I won't give you my kids. I have to protect them. I have to have the burden, which this is all false, but this is my flesh. So daily I have to give my kids up to him, you know, cause I am like, no, this is not my job. And that's why I stress. And so I was like, wow, I said I was done. And so when Pastor Sam said that, I was like, okay, what are we going to do about that? Now, how are we going to change that? You know? And one thing I had to give up was my all-in in 2017 does not have to look like my all-in in 2025. And I think a few times from the year 2021 to 2025, there's been moments of, I give it to you, Lord. Like, you give up, right? I play uncle with God.
Surrender.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, I play uncle with God. And like that old, for the youngins out there, uncle is like the bully would pull your arm behind your back and lift up until you say uncle and you give up. So that's like me and God. And he's like, girl, when, like, you know, he just puts up with me. So, and then I just felt like sad and like, why is it not looking like 2017 when I was on this like fast roller coaster, all in for God, on fire? Like, not to be mean, but you know, there's like, those people are kind of weird, like that are just like all about God and Jesus, like, because it could get weird. I was happily that person. I was like that weird Christian, and I'm like, I want to go back to that, but I need to surrender that it's not going to look like that, because then I started getting disappointed in it's not looking the same, not feeling the same. And I'm like, no, that's okay, you know. Anyways, Damon.
I mean, I think it really plays into what Walter was talking about, is just discerning the Spirit. And it seems like you've been on this journey since 2017 of trying to discern, whether it's discerning God's voice and having some of those filters, which I think is really part of what Walter's talking about, is we do need to have filters when it comes to hearing and experiencing the Lord's presence and trying to hear his voice. Because if we don't have those filters, then it's really easy to get off course, like Kyle was talking about, because there are a lot of voices out there. That there are voices from the Lord. There is also voices from the ways of the world. And so it's really easy for us to veer off. And so we do need to have some of those filters. So it's cool to show how you've actually practically said, okay, here are my filters, right? Because I do think that we do need to have some of those tangible filters in place so that we can move forward. But then also to recognize, like, hearing the Lord's voice and saying, okay, 2017 doesn't, and 2025, they don't need to look the same, right? And so even being able to hear the Lord in that, it's like, oh, that's going to help shape the direction of where you're going to go,
yep.
Where, you know, you don't have to be afraid of some of the difficult things that happened from 2017 that it's going to happen again, right?
Because
I think sometimes that's really a difficult thing for a lot of people, is relying on the past to determine the future, right? And it's, oh, this happened to me when I did this in the past, so I don't want to do that again, because if I do that again, then I'm afraid that those other circumstances or those other things are going to happen too. And so to be able to recognize, like, okay, I don't have to just feel like it's going to repeat, be on repeat. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a cool way for you to kind of tangibly express what Walter was talking about in his message this past Sunday.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing, because I think it helps people to see, like, a practical, a real life example of what it's like. Because to me, when I hear you share that, it's, I don't know that it was an actual spirit, but there's the enemy's voice was there. Like when you said, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's like you partnered with mm-hmm. that, and you allowed that then to take root. And then, but because of that, it opened up a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. And then the other part I heard when you were sharing was you said then old wounds came back, mm-hmm. right? So then really those wounds maybe were in process of being healed, but they hadn't all the way been dealt with.
Yeah.
And then because that voice, or that spirit, because really, like, the spirits are kind of like the little devil sitting on your shoulder. That's really what it's like, but it's whispering in your ear, and it's saying, a lot of different things. But then I felt like that allowed that to then kind of manifest itself and bring up those things that I wouldn't say that you had necessarily pushed aside, but they just hadn't fully been dealt with. But they were in the process, and then because they hadn't been dealt with, then they became back to life in, like, more of their pre-state of the pre-2017 state.
Yep. Perfect.
I think one of the interesting things, kind of going back to that book that we've been talking about, one of the things that the author, okay, so the book is called Switch on Your Brain, right? And we've been talking about it for the past few episodes a little bit. But one of the things that she talks about is how in the way that the Lord has designed our brain to function, that, you know, we do have, like, a subconscious and we have a conscious functioning of our brain, right? And so when those things that are in the subconscious are there, they affect how we make decisions, but it's not necessarily something that we think about. It's just there, and it impacts how we decide or make choices. But the way that the Lord has designed it is, especially when it's hurting, he can bring those things to the conscious, and then he can change them so that, and when they go back into the subconscious, we don't have to live out of the old pain or the old, because mm-hmm. when they come to the conscious, we can, that's when they receive healing. That's when they, the Lord can show us where he is at in that, the midst of the pain. But sometimes it's like, we got to actually go there to take it to the conscious portion of our brain so that we can allow the Lord to heal it, as opposed to just leaving it in the subconscious. So I think in some of those times, it's really hard to go to some of those places. It's difficult, but that's where the Lord can actually bring the healing or bring it to wholeness.
One thing I want to bring up is, like, deliverance, prayer ministry that we so graciously have at our church. Just confession time. Mm-hmm. I cannot remember how many deliverance sessions I personally have had. Mm-hmm. Like, I was the prayee, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. You're just like, how many times do I have to go over this same topic? You know, it's so annoying. And you're just like, again, that's another, like, I'm done, which is the biggest lie, because if you just keep going, I can't imagine if I just kept going to just continue that journey, that what it would have saved me from.
Yeah. That's a good word. And it's, I think the hard part with the inner healing things is it's different for everybody. Some people, it's one or two sessions, and it's like a dramatic, almost like a 180, and things are dealt with, and it's good. And maybe a little bit aftercare, but then for a majority, it's the walking it out. And then it is repeat sessions, but it's repeat sessions of, oh, now we're going deeper and we're cleaning up more, but it's the aftercare that's the prayee's responsibility too. And it's like, they want to come to a session. And no knock on people. I get it, because I've been in some of those too. You want to just say, oh, it was dealt with and it's good, and I'm all good now. But in reality, it's there's a journey of walking it out. And I think that's where really the really, don't take this the wrong way, the sessions themselves are very impactful and intimate and awesome encounters, but it's really seeing the Lord hold your hand as you deal with these lifelong issues, that's really the joy. And if he just did it in a snap of his finger, that's great, but there's so much more depth and maturity and things that come in the journey and the process that are just so invaluable that it's, you can see it on the other side, but in the midst of it, it's like, that I'm done. Like, that's the easy. It's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want it to be done. But it's like, God's like, no, but I haven't got you to where I want you to be. I just take the next couple steps and you'll see. And
we'll call it a spiritual tantrum.
Yes.
I throw Benny tantrums, and I also do spiritual tantrums off, I guess. My family can attest. I throw tantrums.
And I think I really appreciate just the ways that the Lord has led our church in some of these things. Like, we do have a deliverance ministry. We do have inner healing ministries. But then also some of the classes that we've been having recently, like Pastor Barry's Hearing the Lord class or the Mini Habits class, those classes really help in the walking it out, right? So it's like we do have a place where people can go to receive the healing, place where they can go to get deliverance. But then also, you know, with the classes that Pastor Barry's been teaching, he's helping people to have the tools to walk it out too, right? Because it's going to be important for people to hear the Lord's voice as they walk out some of the deliverance or the healing. It's going to be important for people to develop new habits to walk out their healing and their wholeness. And so I really think that it's cool to see how the Lord has kind of led him and led our church in having some of these resources and classes and, you know, just different things that help us to be able to walk down that. And, you know, it is a value of our church restoring the whole person, right? And so to see the ways that the Lord has put the different pieces in place to help us as we do that, I think it's really cool.
Amen.
That's my word.
I beat you.
I know. You got me.
You should have said, preach it, brother.
Preach it. Yeah, keep going.
So another thing that happened this past Sunday is that whenever Walter comes to speak, he brings along a team, which is, it's really awesome to see just the diversity of his team, right? Because, you know, he has his kids in there and they're pretty young, right? Yeah, and, you know, up to some of the students that he's working with.
They're young and they've been doing this for a while too. So like they started even younger. That's what blows me away.
They're amazing.
Like, oh man.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see just the ways that the Lord is speaking to them and through them. And a lot of times when they come, they do ministry and actually give prophetic words. And fortunately for Trish and her family, it seems like they are constantly getting words spoken over them when Walter's team comes. So I thought it would be cool to kind of unpack that a little bit. And especially coming from the mom side, how has it been for you as you've heard the words that have been spoken over your kids, and what's it been like to see them actually stepping into some of those things?
Well, before you jump in, though, just for fuller context, Christian got a word and Josh got a word, but they weren't sitting next to each other. This got it from the same guy, so he didn't know that they were siblings or anything either. But those are, I don't know if they were sequential, if he went right from one to the next, or if there was somebody in between. I don't remember. But I thought it was cool that, oh, both of your kids were highlighted by the same guy, and yet he would have no clue that they were
brothers.
Brothers. So I thought that was cool.
And he actually gave Christian a word the last time that he came. And
that was like last year, right?
Yeah, it was last year. It was at Twain.
Yeah, yeah.
And this time, it was funny because the way that he gave the word to Christian this time, he was like, hey, what's your name? As if he didn't remember that it was Christian the first time, which he might not have remembered. So, but it was pretty cool how that all played out.
So other disclaimer, I was not there, or I missed it for some whatever reason.
The first one,
when he said some stuff over Christian, and one of them was like play guitar. 1 year later, he can play a few songs now.
That's awesome.
That's, self-taught. And then he went, somebody at church offered him some lessons. I cannot for the life of me remember who. But so I'm sitting there, and I've never heard Walter speak. And so I didn't know who that was. And so...
You really didn't know who Walter was.
I really didn't. So I didn't know how the service was going to go. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of that. So to be honest, when he called his team up, I'm expecting the norm of we're going to play worship and we go up to them and we will ask for prayer whatever.
Right,
so
that's
what I'm thinking. So I was blindsided. Mm-hmm. And so... when I realized what happened or what was happening, Ellen was the first one to get something spoken over to her. And I am like crying, I don't like spend tons of time with Ellen ever all these 18 years, but she has been my realtor twice. Mm. And I have personal stories of her shooting those fiery arrows. Mm. And so, I have personal stories of Ellen and nobody knows about. I can't. So I'm sitting there and I'm just, having my shirt under my eyes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wore makeup. Darn it. So then I'm just thinking of all the arrows that none of us have seen her shoot into this world, so I was already emotional, and I was like, oh, this is how it's gonna go. And I don't know if anyone else, but I have the pick me
my turn
I want some, I'm just oh, is it gonna be me next?
Yeah.
And at the same exact time I have full of fear, oh no, I don't want them to pick me. Literally.
Not in front of everybody.
Yeah, I'm literally pick me, don't pick me. So I have this
I'm sure there's other people that can resonate with that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I was that's the weirdest thing to have both. Pick me and don't pick me. So then all of a sudden he picks Christian, and it was just so dead on that. I mean, I bought him silly little Christian gifts, not his name Christian, but Bible verse stuff, little stocking stuffers. And because it's an obvious pick, he likes to fish. Mm-hmm. It's always fisher of men. So he has a few things that I bought him of that. And so I was just oh my gosh. And, without telling his story, I'm trying to be careful here. Mm-hmm. He's about to be 21 and he has a full-time job now and he gets paid well and he's navigating adulthood. Mm-hmm. We'll just say that because it was hard for us, right? Mm-hmm. Growing up. And I truly feel that it is harder now with cell phones and just that alone. He is navigating adulthood. And so with that transition. We all remember that transition. So that's a tough thing to go through. So as a mom, I just felt like I'm trying not to cry. I felt so loved in that moment because it didn't even, I'm over here, pick me, all about me. Didn't realize what it would mean to me to have somebody speak over your child, especially in a difficult stage right now. And I just was like, oh no, the tears are coming. And I'm not kidding. There was just a part of me. You know, there's that whole firstborn thing. It's just a fact. It's in the Bible. Firstborns are just favored. I am a firstborn. So, you know, and I don't have the typical firstborn. My firstborn is actually my secondborn. And my firstborn is my secondborn. So they have like the my firstborn has a crazy personality. He is more out there. And then my second one is like rule follower, like quiet, you know.
Are you a typical firstborn?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No, so I gave birth to myself the first time. So there was like, it was instant. I just felt like, there's no way possible, but like now I have an 18-year-old and now he's entering the same, like figuring it all out, you know, getting his first job, all of this, right? And I just thought like, I know there's no way. Like I literally thought there's no way, but oh, if Josh could get something that would just be like, you know, I'm saying a lot more than I thought because it's the feelings, right? And literally Josh is next to me and he was like the boy in the blue shirt. And I was like, get out of town. And it was so mind blowing because what he said, he was like, are you an engineer? And no, he is not. But throughout his high school years, I was trying to push him into that. Like, let's figure out something because.
Because then right after that, then he goes, or mathematics.
Or right? Are you good at math? Yeah. And I just like, for those that don't know, Josh was pushed all 4 years because he didn't want to. He was like, no, thank you. I don't want the hard math, right? Yeah. And I've told him all 4 years, you know, God doesn't give that gift to everyone. Me. He did not give me that gift. So as someone that didn't get that gift of math or just going to school and it was so easy. Yeah, I'm bitter. So I was like, that's a shame. And I know you don't understand it right now because you're in high school. But that's a shame. Like that makes me really angry. That you are choosing to be so comfortable that you don't want to, like it was his teachers. His teachers were like, oh, junior year, guess what's coming? A brand new math class to ABC School District. And guess what? We get to pick the kids that are going to be in that class. Josh, you're one of them. And he was like, no. But it happened all 4 years. So the coolest thing about that whole thing that was spoken over Josh is that Josh got it. But those that don't know, Matt DiGucci was one that he works at where Josh went to high school as a math teacher. And him and Josh spent a lot of time together. Like there's literally a calc camp. Like you go.
Calculus
camp. And I'm just
don't make fun of people that go to that. Come
I
on,
am
Trish.
Not making fun okay. of, but I just sure. I just think it's funny that you know they do this camp for 4 days and they're just doing calculus, getting ready for the AP test, and then Matt also does a boot camp for like a month. I could be wrong; it could be longer. So Josh was on this journey with Matt and put in the hard work. He got a 5 on his AP test, calc tests. And I was just like, because for me, that struggles in school, that's amazing. So when he said math, I immediately looked over at Matt, and Matt is like, so it's like different people were getting blessed just even by him speaking over Josh, so, because that was like a testament to Matt. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I walked with this kid for 4 years with math, you know, and he's getting called out for it. So me and Matt were both like, oh my gosh, after church, that was incredible. And so.
So you got picked without even being picked.
I did. I was like, I am so favored right now.
So you didn't have to go through the, oh no, I don't want him to speak over me. Like, so, but you still got the blessing.
I got so blessed by the whole thing. And not that I want, like, oh, I felt like Nick was left out, but Nick is more, even more reserved, mm-hmm. and he, you know, doesn't want to go out there and pray and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And we made Nick go up, and mm-hmm. We're like, you don't have to do anything but stand there. Mm-hmm. And he gave a great word over Nick. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, thank you. Because we wanted him to know that those boys were brothers that he spoke over. Mm-hmm. So first of all, we wanted to encourage him. Mm. Like, you keep doing what you're doing, because not only did you pick brothers, you were dead on. Mm-hmm. And that's how God works, because he gets all the glory. Like, there's no denying it, that it was from the Lord. And so we just wanted him to just be blessed by us sharing with him. And then...
You invited him for dinner.
And then he goes, wait, before you go, I want to say something to you. So then I did. I did get picked.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So then they spoke over Mark too. So our whole family did. And it was just an amazing time.
Okay. Without breaking parent-child confidentiality, has Josh shared anything about how that was for him to receive that word? Or did he? I know he's a man of few words, but anything that was that, or just at least was it impactful for him?
Yes, and there's no breaking anything because it was much. like how was that good? You laugh because you know Josh.
Yeah, that sounds so, like Josh. Yeah.
And I don't push it too much. Right, and right. Like if I feel like there's a time that needs to be pushed, mm-hmm. or like, sure. You know what? No, I need a full sentence. I will tell Josh that, but I just wanted him to just, I was like, that was amazing, mm-hmm. because that was like, you got spoken over and there's no denying that it was God. Because to be honest, I don't know if y'all have this too, but you're just like, was that from the Lord? Mm. Was that just... You know, mm-hmm. like you kind of just want to like, it's like flesh and spirit. Like mm-hmm. you're just like wrestling with it, but there was no denying it. And I'm like, Josh, there was no denying that. That's crazy. And then I was also, oh, well, that was, I was like, so you're going to go back to school?
I just like the parts that you shared after that. Cause it was like the things you're going to build. Wait, was it they'll have a huge impact, or they won't be easily taken down or something like that? You can maybe look at your notes.
Yeah, I'm gonna
but
see.
I thought it wasn't just that. That was the entry point to like, oh, God's given him an insight into this person without knowing who he is. But then,
yeah. Did you? Well, Mark, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to replay the video and I'm going to write it word for word and put it on their walls. But what Mark wrote was, are you an engineer? Do you like math? You are a great builder. Have the ability to build such great things. What you build will be monumental. Mm. So those were the words, not word for word, but that's what they said over Josh. I'm still mind blown. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got all excited right now.
Yeah. When he said builder, I was like, oh yeah, Josh has built his own computer. Like that's one of the first things that I think about when I think of Josh, is that he in high school built his own computer. It's like, how many high schoolers are thinking about doing that and then actually doing it. Mm. Right. And so it's like, oh, that's like right on for Josh.
Yeah, with his own money.
I think it's an encouragement, or I want it to be an encouragement for parents too. Like, it's what you've shared with both of your kids. It's hard when you get to a place where you have to release them to make their own choices and as they mature and grow. And then when you see them making maybe not even bad choices, but just not optimal choices, and yeah. It's like, wow, God, please just walk them through this. And, you know, it's challenging.
Yeah.
Because internally you want to be able to, you see what's better, the better choice, and you want to be able to help them or force them to make it. But it's like that's the part of letting them kind of leave the nest. And it's like, okay, this might be a rough season based on what they're seeing or what they're doing or missed opportunities. Like, but God, all right, I'm going to keep lifting them to you, and that you will have your voice come in at certain times through certain people, like those things that happen for your kids on Sunday. And again, we can get excited, but as parents, we can't overreact and be like, hey, see, this is the thing that now go, but really
keep
just
throwing it in their face.
Yes. But just to kind of keep that, I think the support on the back end, which is just the prayer support of lifting them up before the Lord.
Yeah. Christian turns 21 next month. Crazy. And I just, like, you think it's stressful when they're toddlers and you're like, no. It gets real when they're older.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, you know, you're in the season right now where this series that we're on is actually very applicable, right? It's because you have to learn how to walk in that tension of the truth and grace, the light and love, mm-hmm. in the midst of like, okay, this is still my child, but they're an adult. Mm. So how do I navigate being their parent in this season? Because it's going to look different than the season before when they were still my child. And so it's like this new navigation. So it's cool that you're able to share how you're kind of walking that portion out in the midst of this series that we're going through. Because, I mean, really, at each stage, it's like the walking that tension looks different, right? And so in this season, it's like, okay, they are making decisions that might not be what I would choose for them. But at the same time, they're adults. They got to be able to do that. And so what's my role as their mom to walk them through this whole thing? Mm-hmm.
Even because at my work, there's a bunch of ladies and some have, you know, my age kids or whatever. And they're like, yeah, my son doesn't go to church anymore. And they live in the same house and stuff. And I feel really blessed. So I don't know if it's like fair for me to like even say, because we don't force our kids to go to church. They just know we wake up and we go to church. Mm-hmm. And even if Mark and I and Nick aren't there, they go, mm-hmm. you know, unless like Christian one time he didn't feel well. But, you know, I just think, I want to say like, you should force your kids to go to church. I know that's not the right word I'm looking for, because I don't know without saying that word.
I think you were thinking coerce.
Like, or get out of my house. Because I don't know why or how that happened. Because in my mind, there isn't a choice. You know, I'm sorry, you still live under my house, like under my roof, so you have to go to church, right? Mm-hmm. But I'd never had to say that. Mm-hmm. They just choose to go to church still. But I don't know if maybe I did say it. I'm just kidding. And they're like, oh no.
I mean, I don't want to get off on the whole parenting tangent too far, but it's just setting the expectations, the groundwork of this is our identity. This is who we are. And that's not our identity isn't for our salvation. It's not like we go to church so that way we can be saved, but it's like, no, but as believers, as Christians, this is what we do. This is one aspect. So we also do this and we do that. But I think the earlier and the more consistent we can be a role model for that with our kids, then it is just going to happen more than it's not, based on this is how we live, and this is our values, this is our priorities and things like that.
Also, I have big, like, props, I don't know what word, to Catalyst, because I think for Christian, he moved out for 5 months, and we researched churches for him in a very small town, so he didn't have many options. And then he visited one a few times, and then he's like, I don't feel it. And then he visited another church, and he was like, it's more like Catalyst. Like, we're always looking for, like, more like Catalyst. And that's, like, always been a huge part of, like, we always talked about moving since Christian was, like, in sixth grade. And then Mark would say, but what church? You know, like, Catalyst. So that's, like, a huge thing. And then, like, if you do move away, like, Christian, I think, appreciates Catalyst more because he knows, like, wow, there's nothing like our church, you know, what God has built. And I know when visiting pastors come and they talk about how amazing we are, like, I know we are. But I'm just like, are you just saying that? You know what I mean? As, like, you know, when you go to a concert and they're like, Long Beach, you're the best. Like, you know, you say that at every concert. But when they say that, I'm like, we are. We really are the best.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know until you step away from it. And
I think for your kids in particular, one of the things is that they've had experiences with the Lord too. So so church for them hasn't just been a head knowledge thing where I'm learning about, but it's also been a place where they've experienced, right? And experiencing the Lord in ways like receiving prophetic words or things like that, where, you know, I still remember one of the stories that Christian shared about, you know, he was like, oh, I'm going to go to the beach and I need to get to the beach because that's where I'm going to experience the Lord. And then he was in his car and there was traffic. He's like, I need to get to the beach. And then he's like, wait, I can experience the Lord here. And he had this amazing experience with the Lord in his car in the middle of traffic. And so for him, like, his faith isn't just a head thing or like, I know that God is real. I know that he does, but then it's also, I know these things and I've experienced his presence. I've heard his voice. I've, you know, been so caught up in the experience of, you know, worship and things like that, that his faith is real. And so I think those are some of the things that continue to draw them back to church. And it's not just, oh, it is our community, which there's an aspect of it. It's the community and the people, but it's really, they've had experiences with the Lord. And so because of that, it's hard to go away. Right.
Yeah.
And so where I think other instances and, you know, we can't judge other, cause we don't know what's going on in other places, but I do feel like there are certain aspects of Catalyst that are unique where we do emphasize experiencing the Lord's presence in ways that some other churches might not. And so for other kids, some of their experience might be more like it's the youth group that draws me to church, or it's because my parents make me go. And there's not so much of an experience of the Lord's presence or of a relationship with the Lord that makes it easier for them to walk away when they graduate, or the group isn't here. So what do I do now type thing, where for your kids, it's like, oh, we've experienced the Lord. We can't walk away. You know, I think it's just, it's different. Yeah. And so I think that's one of the things to recognize, that the Lord has been gracious in showing him his presence in their midst, so that they're like, no, I don't want to go anywhere else. Like, mom and dad aren't going today because they're across the country on this awesome road trip, but we want to go to church because we want more of what the Lord has for us there.
Yeah. Amen.
Sorry, I was just looking on my phone. I just read something the other day, and I think it's about a lot about the younger generation. There's a lot of curiosity and a lot of excitement for pursuing God, but they want encounters with God. They don't just want to know about him, and they don't just want to. So it's experiential, but it's really like a deep encounter. And I think that's really good. And I think some of what we are wanting to pursue is aligned with that, and having healing services and things like that where people encounter God in a supernatural way. But then we also have to be careful that it's not just about the encounter. It's the encounter is the gateway to then, but this is who you encountered, and you want to get to know him. But I think the more we can get people those intimate encounters and then get them to say, to want to pursue knowing who that is, that's going to be, it's going to keep people coming back, right? And that's what God wants.
And I think that brings us full circle into why it's important to discern the spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Because as we step more into this and step more into some mm-hmm. of these encounters or yeah. this spiritual realm, we have to make sure that we are discerning that it's the right spirit that we're stepping into or that we're hearing from and not just some random spirit that's out there, because there are competing voices for our attention, for our heart, and we want them to be focused on the Lord and on Jesus, right? And so that's where kind of going back to the verse that Kyle read, it's we need to make sure that the spirit that is acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Son of God, right? And not just some other spirit that's trying to draw our attention.
And I think what you just said is good, and I like how you said voices, because I think for some people they might disconnect and be like, I don't know if I hear spirits. I don't know. How do I know if spirits are talking to me? It's really, a lot of it is thought-based or emotion-based. Like, it's something tugging at your emotions, but oftentimes, I know for me, and I think for a lot of people I've talked to, it's their thought life. And is it, you're getting these different thoughts, and like, oh, why did that just pop in? Or, oh, that feels kind of good. Like, I think I want to go with that, but, oh, wait, is that grounded in truth? Is that actually biblical? So I think what we're trying to get across here is, yeah, even with the, going through those experiential encounter type things is the voice specifically, but the voice and the emotions, are they grounded and are they rooted in Jesus, or are they coming from our flesh, which is like, oh yeah, I want that. That feels good. Or that's going to bless me. So yeah, I think I just wanted to bring clarity, because I think that's a lot of this. Discerning spirits is really discerning, okay, what voices are coming in, what thoughts are coming in your thought life.
Great. Preach.
Preach. Amen.
All right. I guess we tapped out today. I thought we might go super long, but
I was purposely not talking. I thought we were wrapping it up, so I was like, I'm good.
Okay, well, Trish, do you have any closing thoughts? Since, you know, you're not on as regularly as before, and so we always
give our guests a closing thought. So it doesn't mean you have to just cut it off. But
anything you want to leave our listeners with until the next time that you come on?
Oh,
because it's been a while, so you know we want to hear from you.
I can't even. I feel like I talked this whole time. That's why when you were Damon was staring at me, and I shook my head no, and I was like, "We're done." I feel like that was good, but I mean, because I could keep going.
I know, but okay. Well, just in summary, like the stuff you shared today, like where are you at on your journey? What's an encouragement? What's something, an insight that you know that God is bringing to you in this season? And what do you want to leave our people with?
You know what? I'll tell you what. I don't even know what that guy's name was that. Gave us those words, but I said that 2025 is looking different than 2017, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one of the big, like in this guy, I do not know him one second of him, so I was like blown away. I'll read what Mark wrote for his notes, and then I will elaborate on it. His name?
I can't remember his name
either.
So, but this is the word he gave to you. So Mark, it's Mark's notes based on what he heard the word give to you.
Yeah. So when we went up there and we just said, if you could pray over Nick, the lost brother. Mm-hmm. And then he said, wait, I have something for you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man. So he said that God is so proud of you. Mm-hmm. And you pay attention to the details. And he got this song from me, Carpenter Boy. And I never heard of it. Mm. And it's basically when Jesus was on the cross, he could smell the wood. Mm. And that would remind him of home. Mm. So, and I was just like, oh no, here comes the tears. And that I pay attention to the details of his love. Mm. And, that God is proud of me when all I can do is say hallelujah. Mm. And so that's what the difference is. I've just been at so many breaking points. My spiritual walk as a mom, as a wife, that sometimes just showing up to church is all I could give. And that makes me really sad. And I would feel like shameful because I'm sitting there and I feel like a fraud or, and I know these are lies, but this is just my true feelings. Like, when was the last time I read my Bible? And I'm talking before retreat, because now I'm like back into the word and, you know, but before retreat. And when he said that, I just was like, oh, I just am shattered in like a million amazing pieces by those words, because he doesn't know me, obviously. So I know that that was from God, because all I, sometimes that's all I have. And the fact that he said, like, he's proud of you just when I can, like, give what I'm giving, you know? And then in that moment, it just became so real, even though it has to do with money in the Bible, where it's like the rich men were giving their money, but the poor lady, like, gave her last dime. And he was like, she's the one, right? And I was like, that's what, like, entered my mind. Even though it's money, but it's just like, I'm giving what I can give. When I lost my mind in 2019. One of the things, because I cried constantly for 3 weeks, I literally was on my hands and knees almost all day long just crying, because I just was begging. And I just kept, like, holding, like, a thread of his clothes. And I would, like, shout out loud, I'm not letting go. You know, I'm not letting go. And so when he said that over me, I just felt like it was turned. Like, the Lord's like, I'm not letting go. And I just was like, oh, I'm done for. And so, you know, those are the words that, like, we must share when the Lord tells us to share with someone, because it may sound like so dumb, whatever we're saying, because it's none of our business. And that could just be life-giving to the other person. That's my final thoughts.
Oh, that's really cool. I appreciate you, your vulnerability and sharing that. And I think, I just sense that you have a strong spirit. And sometimes then that takes a lot to break, so to speak. And then you want to pull back your strong spirit and have control over it again. And so then you're on that cycle. But I think even just knowing where you're at today versus where you were, even in 2017, like, you had that season of being all in. And really it was about obedience, right? And what were you willing to do? Even though you had it stopped for a season, you still were elevated. Like, you're at a different place. And so that's why even 2025 is going to be different than 2017, because you're starting from a different place. So I think it's cool to see how, even in that journey of you wrestling with control with God, that he's still winning out little by little, even as you do this tug of war kind of thing with him. And like, as you would say, he's playing uncle with you. But I think it's really cool just to see your openness as you share it. I can see from your journey that you're in a different place. And I look back and I'm like, yeah, it's hard, because in some ways you made it harder on yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's like, you see that with other people, with our kids, with our loved ones, with our friends. But it's really... victorious, that's the word that comes to mind, that when you see them then overcome that, it's like, oh, yes. Now you're even in a better place now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. Preach it.
I think it's also pretty amazing to see just how speaking the words that you're hearing from the Lord can bless not only the person that you're speaking to, but can bless the people around them as well. So I think as we continue to step into that part of our faith where we're hearing the Lord and speaking over people, is recognizing, like, if you are not sharing because you're afraid, you might actually not just be the person that you have a word for might be missing out, but the people around them might be missing out on something too, right? Because, you know, you'd shared about, like, even with Josh, it's like you were blessed and then Matt was blessed and all these other people were blessed in the midst of that word that was being spoken. So it's just to see the way that the Lord works is just, it's like a multiplication thing, right? Where it's like, oh, this might be for this person, but it's also for all these other people around. So
collateral blessing. Yeah.
Like, maybe that's the title of that's the title of this episode.
There we go.
Collateral blessing.
I love it. I love that so much.
So we want, you know, I believe the Lord wants people to receive the collateral blessing. Mm-hmm. So that's why for us as a church, we want to continue to step in and hearing God's voice so that we can share that collateral blessing with the world and really be the city on a hill. So thanks again, Trish, for coming on. We're excited for the next time that you come on. We're a little bummed that we don't get to hear from you as often, but it's always a good time having you
on.
Thank you. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.